Pick one object in this room, and we're going to tell its origin story. I was going to be horrible at this game. Game? Is that what they called it? Exercise? Whatever its official title, it was not my strength. I picked the piano since I'd already given it human character traits in my head, and told the story of a girl who got turned into a piano by an evil queen. They had tons of follow-up questions, like I had actually thought this through at all. Once I was done with my part, I was happy to listen to their much more creative stories about women frozen in time and benches made of gold and keys that unlocked portals. They were fully realized stories with details and twists. "Did you make that up just now?" I asked Lydia when she was done.
"Yes."
"How?"
"Practice, I guess."
It was more than the stories themselves that impressed me. It was the confident way they told them, like they didn't care what anyone thought. I wasn't sure how long we were there, but the shadows became more pronounced, and the stained glass no longer shone at all when we stood and I dusted off my jeans. Lacey linked arms with me on the way out. "Thanks for letting me come," I said.
"Anytime."
I was the fourth one to climb through the hole to the outside, and it took me a moment to realize that the three who had climbed out before me were staring at something in the distance. I thought maybe we'd been caught, that the cops had shown up and we were going to get hauled away for breaking and entering, even though technically there was no breaking, only entering. But it was worse than cops. It was Cooper. He held something I couldn't make out in his hand. A box with a handle of sorts. My not-quite-weaned heart did a flip. How had he known I was here? It took my brain 2 seconds to remember the stupid app on our phones. Find your friend. My phone had tattled on me. I needed to delete that app immediately. Lacey had climbed out of the hole behind me, and she saw Cooper, too.
"Do you want me to tell him to go away?"
"I'll go tell him right now."
"No, I'll talk to him."
She gave me a disbelieving look. "No, really. I'm in no danger. I'm dead inside now." Her disbelief turned into sympathy.
"Come to my house when you're done, okay? We'll eat chocolate and watch a movie about killing boys."
"Is there a movie like that?"
"We'll find one."
She squeezed my arm.
"Be strong."
I smiled, then watched as all my new friends got into their cars and drove away. My gaze went back to Cooper. 6 days strong. I'd have to start the count over after this. I walked slowly until I stood 10 feet away from him. There I stopped. I may have been stronger, but I didn't need to smell him too. I could feel the grime on my hands and face from the building we'd just emerged from. I wondered if I was covered in dirt. Then I remembered I shouldn't care. Cooper looked at the building behind me, and I knew he wanted to ask me what we had been doing in there. I could see it in his familiar, questioning brow. He didn't ask. He held up the box in his hand. 4 glass bottles in a carrier.
"Chocolate milk," he said. "Chocolate milk makes everything better."
I nodded and swallowed. "It does."
"Permission to approach enemy lines?" he said, holding out the box.
I sensed my old habit taking over.
The one that wanted everything to go back to how it was.
The one that wanted to patch things up and pretend everything was fine. I resisted.
"Cooper, I can't do this." "When?"
"I don't know. I need time. You're not giving me time."
"I gave you 6 days. That's a long time." "I feel terrible. Do you think I wanted to miss your show? I didn't. I wanted to see it. You're my best friend in the world."
"I know you think you wanted to see it. But the thing is, Cooper, when you truly want to do something, you do it. It's that simple.
I got the days mixed up.
Exactly.
You're not going to forgive me.
He said it as a statement. I don't know. Maybe. I need time.
Time for what?
To stop loving you, Cooper, I blurted out. To get over you. To change. His eyebrows dipped down, but so did his chin. My breathing was shallow, my cheeks red, but he didn't say anything.
You remember that night on the beach a year ago? I remember.
The night I told you I loved you, and then played it off as a joke. I realized, as I stared at him, holding those chocolate milk bottles and looking at the sidewalk, that he knew it hadn't been a joke all along. I wish you would have told me that you knew a year ago. Then maybe all of this would be resolved by now. I put myself out there, and you let me take it back so easily. I hadn't been angry that day, or even in the year since, at how that all played out. I had been more embarrassed and hurt. Now I was angry. For the last year, he knew, and he hadn't even given me the courtesy to talk it through with me, to let me explain or tell him why we should be together, or why I loved him. He basically blew it off, dismissed my feelings. Tears drained down my face now as I stared at him. I felt all the hate and resentment draining out with them.
I don't know what to say, he said. I can tell you I was a jerk again. I can tell you I handled that all wrong.
I don't know what I hoped would happen once the truth was finally out there. In the very corner of my brain, I hoped that this was when he realized he actually did love me. That the horror I'd seen on his face that night at the beach was because it was surprising, not because it wasn't reciprocated. That his feelings had grown over this year. That being without me this week was so hard for him that he realized he must love me. But that wasn't going to happen. Cooper, I'm letting go. I have to let you go, regardless of how much that scares me. I watched his Adam's apple bob with a hard swallow. He gave a single nod, then set the box of chocolate milk on the ground in front of him and took a wobbly step back. I held my ground. I held it while he walked away backward, not breaking eye contact with me the whole time. I held it when he climbed into his car, and the engine roared to life. I even stayed perfectly still while he backed out of his parking spot and drove away. When his car disappeared around the corner, I sank to the ground.
34. I showed up on Lacey's doorstep. I hated to bring her down after the good news that she'd delivered earlier, so I tried my best to plaster a smile on my face.
Oh, please, she said. I saw you try out for a play. You're not a very good actress.
I hiccuped out a laugh, and she pulled me inside.
You have chocolate milk, she said. Wait, is that what Cooper was holding? 4 quarts of chocolate milk?
I nodded. Chocolate milk makes everything better. She swiped the carrier from me and took it to the sink. I thought she was going to pull out some glasses right then, but instead she uncapped a bottle and began pouring it down the drain. I gasped. Lacey, that's like liquid gold.
It's like liquid poison. We are purging ourselves of Cooper.
The empty bottle clinked on the counter, and she got the next one and began pouring. Can we at least deliver it to needy children?
Do you hear that? She asked.
We went quiet,
and the glug-glug sound of large amounts of liquid making its way through a small opening rang out. All I hear is you pouring chocolate milk down the drain.
Exactly. That's the sound you need to remember. The sound of freedom.
I shook my head and couldn't help but laugh. That's the sound of freedom? Those words sounded better in my head. I stopped her from uncapping the next bottle. Let's save some for your family. I bet your little sister and brother would love to drink this liquid poison.
True.
She opened the fridge and put the remaining two bottles inside.
I found the perfect movie for us.
What?
It's called Body Count. You'll like it. Lots of death and revenge. Then later we should have a bonfire. Do you have any Cooper things you need to burn?
I hugged her. Thank you for this. She hugged me back.
I'm sorry he hurt you.
I shook my head, feeling the tears threaten again. I pulled away and changed the subject. I like your friends. She led me to the living room.
They liked you too. So, welcome to the world of having more than one friend group. It's a great place to be for the inevitable moments like this.
Moments like what?
When you want to murder one of them, of course.
Of course. I looked at my hands, which still felt grimy. Can I use your bathroom?
Yes. Down the hall, second door on the right.
The bathroom mirror proved I was in worse shape than I thought. Dirt streaked my cheeks, turned more mud-like from the tears I'd added to it earlier. I pulled the handle on the faucet and scrubbed my hands and face with water. Then I patted dry with a hand towel. I leaned against the counter and took several deep breaths. A single drop of water clung to the end of the faucet, and I watched it drop. Then I reached for the handle on the sink and twisted. Water poured out and down the drain with a glug. The sound of freedom, I whispered. Lacey was settled on the couch when I rejoined her.
How are you feeling?
She asked. Okay, I'll be fine. And I would be, eventually. She pushed play. The first scene proved the title of the movie was an appropriate one.
Maybe that should be the real sound of freedom, Lacey said, imitating gunfire.
It's much less pathetic, but maybe that's why it's not as fitting. Lacey gave a small laugh.
You got this, and I'm here for you. You'll be on to your next victim in no time.
The next day, I stood in the center of my room, taking in everything I chose to surround myself with. Most of the clippings and pictures were years old. I began taking things off my walls one by one, sorting them into piles. One pile was definitely throwaway. One was to file in my desk drawer. And the other pile would be to hang back up on my wall in a new order so my space wouldn't feel so stale. Like Cooper, I had Polaroid pictures of us on my walls too. Ones I had either stolen from his wall or he'd given me after he'd snapped them. I put them in the file-away pile for now. My phone rang. It was an out-of-area number. I knew what that meant. I answered. Dad?
It's me,
he said. His voice always sounded far away when he called, which was appropriate, because he was very far.
You still mad at me?
I considered his question. The anger that had brewed all week was mostly gone, but that didn't mean I wasn't upset at what he had done. You thought if you gave me some time, I wouldn't be?
I called you as soon as I could. We had drills this week. So that's a yes? You are still mad?
I'm not happy that you reached out to Mr. Wallace without my permission.
If I see my baby girl in need of my intervention, I'm not going to just sit back and not take action, he said.
I had been willing to forgive him, but he was being unapologetic. That made it harder. Dad, I'm telling you I don't want you to do that, especially without talking to me. If I had asked you to, it would have been one thing. But I didn't.
Well, I did it.
I know, and you may have ruined a relationship for me with the person who I need to write a recommendation letter.
He better still write that letter.
I growled and hung up the phone. Why were the men in my life so pig-headed?
I'd never hung up on my dad before, and I felt guilty immediately. It wasn't like my dad got unlimited phone time. My Cooper wound felt fresh again. I ripped the heart list off the wall and threw it into the throwaway pile. That list had been pointless. A few minutes later, my door squeaked open.
Honey?
It was my mom. I turned to face her.
Your father has something to say to you.
She held up her phone. I took it from her. Yes?
I'm sorry, he said.
I sighed. My mom was good for him. I wished he were home more, because they really did balance each other out. Thank you, I said. That's all I wanted to hear.
I know. Sometimes I just want to protect you, and it's hard for me to remember you're not a child anymore.
I know. I'm glad I have a dad who wants to protect me, but let's wait for me to call for help first, okay?
So I don't need to beat up Cooper when I get home?
He knew what happened with Cooper, too. I looked at my mom with narrow eyes, and she acted innocent. No, I took care of that on my own.
You beat him up?
He asked. I laughed, but then stopped. Yes, Dad. I think maybe I did.
I found something for you out here.
You did?
I was going to wait until I got home to show you, but when we hang up, I'll email you a picture.
Okay.
Love you, kid.
Love you, too. We hung up, and I waited 2 minutes to log on to my email. My dad was true to his word. He'd sent an email. The only thing it contained was an attached picture. I clicked on the image. A small gray stone resting on the palm of his hand filled the screen. It formed a lopsided heart. He'd found a heart rock after all. I swallowed hard and smiled. After throwing away, filing away, and rehanging my piles, I knew I could no longer avoid work and Mr. Wallace if I wanted to keep my job. He was in his office when I arrived at the museum. He had done some cleaning of his own, and the room looked bare. "Hi," I said, trying to be as humble as possible.
"Abby, are you feeling better?"
"Yes, for a while now, actually. I've been avoiding you." He shook his head, but a smile took over his face.
"You're always very honest."
"I'm sorry for how I behaved last Sunday night. And I'm sorry my dad bullied you into letting me be in the show." He sighed and stood.
"Come in. Have a seat."
I did as he asked.
"He didn't bully me into it. I was already on the verge. And your painting showed amazing growth."
"You think?"
"You still have things to learn, but yes. I hope you haven't decided to leave us. I really value your work here."
"I don't want to leave. I love being surrounded by art."
"Good. I have you on the schedule for tomorrow. Are you going to be able to make it?"
"Yes, absolutely. And do you think..."
"Yes?"
"I want to go to a winter art program. Do you think you can write me a letter of recommendation?"
"I'd love to."
"Thank you." 35. There were 4 weeks left of summer, and those weeks stretched before me like an undeserved prison sentence. With Rachel and Justin still gone, I was worried I'd have nothing but time to think about this. To think about Cooper and the failed art show, and my still-strained relationship with my mom and grandpa. I wondered if Cooper had told Rachel or Justin what had happened. I wondered if we'd have to split up our friend group when school started, or if I'd be able to get through these feelings of hurt and anger. My life was a mess. But at least Lacey kept true to her word. She said she'd be there for me, and she was. She invited me to parties and perspective-shifting outings and late-night food runs.
Plus, Mr. Wallace put me back on the schedule, and I worked well past my scheduled hours. 2 weeks had passed, and the gaping hole in my life wasn't getting any smaller. But it was easier to walk around it these days. I wonder if Cooper had a hole in his life, too. He hadn't texted or called me once since the night outside the abandoned church building. He was giving me time, just like I'd asked. I tried not to think about if it was the right decision. I tried to be in the moment. And in this moment, I was riding in the passenger seat in Lacey's car. We were heading to Elliot's house. I'd asked her to go with me to check out his art. It was hot. Sweat was forming behind my knees and beating along my upper lip. "Is there a reason the AC is not on?" I asked, as humid air blowing in from the cracked windows did nothing to cool me. "Yes, it's good to experience discomfort sometimes. It helps me channel that emotion better when performing."
"So all your life is a stage?"
"Pretty much." I smiled and turned my focus back to the window just in time to see we were passing Cooper's neighborhood. I squinted my eyes, like I had gained the ability to see through houses. I had to literally clench my jaw to keep myself from asking Lacey if we could drive by his house. We passed successfully, only to come upon the now empty field where the big 100-year-old tree used to stand. They'd torn it down. The sight hit me in the gut. I placed my hand on the window. Poor Lance. Lacey was asking me something, I realized. I needed to not let my mind wander so much. I looked at her, focused on the words she was saying.
"Stop seeing her?"
"What?" I asked, knowing I missed way too much of that question to try to fake an answer.
"I was talking to Kendra, who was talking to Delaney, who apparently knows Iris's older sister, and she said that Cooper broke it off with Iris. Is that true?"
My mouth opened and closed once before I said, "I don't know."
"Really? So no social media updates from him?"
"I haven't looked."
"Wow, I'm impressed."
She shouldn't have been. When I wasn't forcing myself to go out with her, I was working or sleeping. Yes, I'm the queen of self-control.
"So are you happy about the Iris Cooper breakup news?"
"Should I be?" It just made things worse, actually, because now I knew he had nobody. At least I had Lacey. Who had Cooper been hanging out with? Justin and Rachel would be home soon, but they weren't home now.
I wondered if I should tell you or not. I thought maybe I shouldn't, but then I thought, if I were you, I'd want to know.
"I'm glad to know, but it doesn't change anything."
"No, it doesn't."
She nodded like she was the one that needed to be convinced, not me. Elliot lived beachfront. I should have known this after all his talk about hiring private teachers and worrying about sounding pretentious. But I was still surprised. His house was stunning. Ivy climbed red brick walls and bright flowers filled boxes beneath windows, all with the backdrop of the ocean.
"Wow,"
Lacey said.
"Does Elliot seem a little more attractive all of a sudden?"
I smacked her arm.
"What?"
she asked, laughing. We exited the car and walked the stone stepway up to the house, where a gnome statue sat in a flower pot to greet us. Its expression seemed to warn us away. I wondered if Elliot had sculpted it. Lacey didn't care about the gnome's warning. She rang the doorbell. Elliot had a much friendlier expression when he answered the door.
"Hi. Welcome, ladies. Come in."
He stepped aside. His house was just as charming inside as it was out. Someone with an artist's eye had decorated. There were benches tucked in nooks, with eclectic mismatched pillows, and paintings on every wall, and shelves filled with colorful glass shapes, and twisted metal, and foreign masks. There was something to look at everywhere, and yet it didn't feel cluttered.
"My mom loves to collect things,"
he said, noticing my gaze. "She has great taste," I said. Are any of these your pieces?
No. There's a room devoted to me. The Elliot Shrine, I call it.
He said it in a joking manner, but I could tell it was to hide some embarrassment. He led us farther into the house, and every room we encountered was more beautifully decorated than the one before. The kitchen was my favorite. The cabinets were a pale yellow, and the countertops a brighter shade. The walls were stamped tin. It seemed like it shouldn't work together, but it did, especially with the pops of colorful dishes on open shelves. I wouldn't leave my house if I were you, I said. I could paint in here all day.
Could you? You're welcome to come over and paint any time.
Maybe I would. I still hadn't picked up a brush. It had been over a month now. I needed something to jolt me out of this slump, and maybe this house would help me. Can we see your shrine? I asked. He ducked his head, his cheeks reddening.
I guess that's what you're here for.
He had described the room right. His pieces were set on shelves on every wall, spotlights shining down on them from the ceiling. But I could see why his parents were proud. They were amazing. I slowly walked around the room, studying each carefully made piece. There were trees and faces and intricately carved shapes and vases, and on and on.
Is the chain yourself to your art piece in here somewhere? I asked.
You've chained yourself to your art?
Lacey asked.
No, he said. I haven't. We were discussing if we had ever made any pieces that we would defend with our lives.
Well, with our bodies, I said. We never said anything about lives. He smiled at me.
True. And no, that piece is not my mom's favorite, actually, so she didn't know of its importance. Which I was happy about, because that means I get to keep it in my room.
Let's see it then, Lacey said. His room was barer than I had expected it to be. I just assumed it would be like mine, with art and inspiration all over the walls. But it wasn't. The furniture had clean, modern lines. Simple. And in the corner was his heart. I could tell by the way he looked at it. It was two shapes, twisted together, like bodies wrapped around each other. I wasn't sure why I thought they were bodies. They had no distinct human form. But the long, elegant shapes seemed drawn to one another. That's beautiful, I said.
I like the big tree in the shrine room better, Lacey said.
He shrugged.
We all have our own views.
She fiddled with one of the bracelets around her wrist.
Do you mind if I raid your fridge for a soda or something?
Oh, yes, of course. Go for it.
Do you want anything?
He asked me. I'm good. He and Lacey headed for the door. I spent one more moment with his sculpture. I ran my hand along the smooth surface. I felt surprisingly cold.
He texted me,
Elliot said, and I jumped. I hadn't realized he was still there. I turned around. Lacey was gone, and just Elliot stood in the doorway facing me.
What?
I asked. Who?
Cooper. He asked if I'd seen you. Wanted to make sure you were okay. The words made me want to cry all over again.
What did you say?
I haven't answered yet. I won't, if you don't want me to.
Tell him I'm... What?
Fine? Miserable? I didn't want him to know that. Still in love with him? What was wrong with me?
Nothing. Tell him nothing. He waited, as if he thought I'd change my mind, then held up his phone, as if Cooper were inside it.
I shouldn't even try with you, should I? He still has a hold on you.
I took a deep breath. Maybe now is not the best time to try. Because, yes, he does.
I understand.
We can be friends, though, right? I could use a friend right now.
Of course.
I nodded toward his statue. It's really good.
Thanks. That means a lot coming from you,
From me, the amateur?
You were in a professional art exhibit.
I found out I didn't earn my way in.
That only matters if you don't believe you deserved it.
That's exactly what I believed. He seemed to read my expression because he said,
"Nobody else's opinions about your art are going to matter to you until yours does."
When did you get so smart?
I always have been, really.
His eyes sparkled with his joke. Thanks for trying to get my mom that night, by the way.
I knew you wanted her there. Sorry it didn't work out.
It's okay. I knew I needed to explain to him about my mom and why she didn't come and how it wasn't him, but I wasn't ready to talk to him about it just yet. "She's working on it," is what I said instead. Our household is a big work in progress right now.
Isn't everybody's? Come on, I'm sure Lacey has prepared us a feast by now.
In the kitchen, I grabbed hold of Lacey's hand and squeezed. "Thanks, both of you," I said to her and Elliot. I didn't realize I needed more friends in my life, but I really do. It's been nice. Lacey squeezed my hand back. 36. Nobody else's opinion about my art would matter until mine did. Elliot was right. I had been so concerned about what everyone else thought about my work. It was always about my parents or Cooper, my grandpa, everyone else. So what was my opinion about my art? I walked around my small studio back at my house. I studied each piece. I had been quick to adopt Mr. Wallace's opinions about my paintings when he'd mentioned them. Immature, one-dimensional. And maybe I still thought that way about my early paintings. But my newer ones held emotion. Depth. My newer ones were good. Maybe even great. I could see the growth clearly, and I could see there was room for more growth. But wouldn't there always be room for more growth? Wouldn't I learn and grow as long as I was willing to try? As long as I was always willing to let things around me change? I wandered back through the quiet halls of my house. My mom sat on the couch reading. At first I thought it was the medical book. It reminded me of one she'd read before. But then I realized it was a novel. She met my eyes and shrugged.
"A little progress."
"Good job, Mom."
"I have my first appointment this week with a therapist," she said.
"Really? That's great." I smiled.
"I'm glad you're happy about it."
"Does it make you happy?"
"No. It terrifies me.
But I'm going to do it." "Good. Sometimes we have to do things that scare us, right?"
"Is that what you're doing?" she asked. "With Cooper?"
"Maybe. Yes. I'm just trying to free myself."
"Hang in there," she said.
"You too."
"Are we going to be okay, me and you?" she asked.
"Yes, Mom. Love is about caring for someone even when they have weaknesses, right? I mean, you love me despite my sarcasm and laziness." She smirked.
"I love you because of those."
"I can see that." I leaned down and hugged her. She didn't let me go for several long breaths. "Where's Grandpa?" I asked. It was time to talk to him as well. I had been the hardest on him. Maybe because he'd never let me down before, and I expected the most from him. She pointed to the back door, and I let myself outside. Grandpa was in the far corner of the yard on his hands and knees, picking weeds from between vegetables.
"You're not going to break a bone, are you?"
I asked, sitting on the retaining wall that boxed in his garden. He took off one of his gloves and threw it my way.
"Let's see if your hands can accomplish as much damage as your mouth."
I took a deep breath, knowing I deserved that, and put on the glove. I could see why Grandpa liked to garden. There was something about plucking offenders out of the warm, soft soil that was very satisfying.
I wouldn't let him know that, though, or he'd put me on weekly weed duty. I looked over at Grandpa through a curtain of my own hair that hung down, blocking part of my view. I'm sorry for what I said.
I'm sorry I couldn't get your mom there the night of your show.
It's not your fault, Grandpa.
But I'm more sorry I didn't come. I should have. I was only thinking of her and her needs, and not you. I hope you'll forgive me. I do care about you, and it makes me sad you doubted that.
Tears dripped off my face and into the dirt. I know. I've always known. I shouldn't have said that. Grandpa stood, with some effort, brushed off his knees, then took off his glove. He sat on the retaining wall and patted the place next to him. I sat next to him and played with the fingers of the glove that I left on my hand.
It's hard for me,
he said.
I feel like no matter what I try, she struggles. I try to push her, she pushes back. I try to be understanding, she sinks deeper. I want to take this burden from her.
He got a little choked up, and I looked over at him, surprised. I slipped my glove-free hand into his. You can't. She has to make that choice herself.
But I'm her father.
You feel like it's your fault somehow.
Who else's?
Grandpa. She's her own person.
Your grandmother would have known how to handle this better. But obviously that's wishful thinking.
I've learned a few things this summer.
From your list?
From everything.
What have you learned?
He asked. That we can only control ourselves. No matter how much we wish we could twist and bend someone's will to ours, they have to want it too.
You're a smart kid.
I laid my head on his shoulder and squeezed his hand in mine. You know, I could have turned out really screwed up.
What?
He asked, seeming surprised by my statement. I have a mom who is great, but who rarely leaves the house, and a dad who is gone all the time.
Yes, you could have let that turn you rebellious or jaded.
But I had you, Grandpa. I always had you. You made me feel safe. You gave me my strength.
And you, child, restored my heart.
My art room was bright that afternoon. It was like a representation of what I'd realized after talking to my grandpa. I had finally figured out what my tree painting was missing. My heart. Lance had chained himself to his tree because of his memories. But his memories weren't mine. I now knew what to add. What had helped define me? I hefted the large canvas up onto my easel, and for the first time in weeks, I slid open the drawer on my hutch and retrieved some colors. Then, in the bark, on the strong, steady trunk of the tree, and only noticeable if studied just right, I painted a face. My grandpa's. By the time I was done, paint coated my fingers. It had even worked its way under a few fingernails. I smiled and tried to wipe as much as possible on my shirt. I left the painting on the easel to dry. I was going to apply to the winter art program with or without a sale. It was what I wanted to do. And standing there, staring at my grandpa's eyes in my painting, I believed I'd get in. 37. I sat on my bed in my room the next day, gripping my phone. My finger hovered over the button that would instantly connect me to all of Cooper's online world. I knew what I told my grandpa in the garden was true. We could only control ourselves. No matter how much I loved Cooper, I couldn't love him enough for the both of us. I had to let go. And yet,
I let my finger fall.
Cooper's profile pic came up. A selfie of him and me making the goofiest face for the camera.
My breath caught. The last time I'd looked at his profile, it had been a pic of him and Iris. So did that mean that they really had broken up?
I scrolled through the screens, but that was the only update there was. The statuses were from weeks ago. Like my accounts, his were eerily silent.
I put my phone to sleep and tossed it onto my nightstand. A small piece of paper fluttered to the ground with the action. I squinted and retrieved it off the ground. It was a business card. Mr. Wade Barrett. My brain took a couple of seconds to recall why I had this card and who this man was. He was the guy from the art show who'd made an offer on my quad piece. Fearless. My quad piece. The one I had planned on giving to Cooper. I retrieved my phone and dialed the number. The voice that answered was loud and boisterous.
This is Wade?
Hi, Wade. I mean, Mr. Barrett. This is Abigail Turner. I met you at the art museum. You liked my piece with the quad. You said your grandson liked to ride.
Ah, yes. Hello.
Can I ask you a weird question?
Sure.
Do you know my dad?
What's your dad's name?
Paul Turner. He hummed as if thinking.
Can't say that I do.
Are you still interested in the piece?
Did you paint one similar?
No, but I've decided to sell the one you saw to you after all, if you're still interested.
I am.
We talked numbers and settled on a price. I hung up the phone. I had just made money from my art. It was the first time I'd ever sold any of my work, and a thrill went through me.
Mail,
Mom called. You got the mail, Mom? I asked, emerging from my room.
I know, it's not a big deal, she trailed off.
It is a big deal. As little as Mom went out, she went out even less by herself. I was proud of her, but I didn't want to push her past her breaking point. You know I love you no matter what, right?
I know that. And that would be good enough for me if all of your life could happen in this house. But it can't. One day you're going to graduate from college, get married, or have a baby. I'd like to be there.
I can only pick one of those?
What?
You said or. She rolled her eyes.
You know what I meant.
I do. I kissed her cheek. Thanks for doing hard things.
I'm surrounded by excellent examples.
She paused, then said,
I saw your painting.
You'll have to narrow that down. I have a lot of paintings.
You know which one.
I want to be that person for you. The one who can cheer you on.
Me too, Mom.
I squeezed her hand, then turned to leave as she began flipping through the mail. I stopped in my tracks and turned back around, seeing something. Underground Gardens. I've been wanting to try this out. I pulled it out of the stack and held it up. It even has a coupon. 2 for the price of 1.
You should take a date.
She winked at me. I walked to the front door and opened it. Suitors? I called out the door. Where are all my suitors?
Is Elliot out there? She asked.
Funny. I shut the door. I told you. I have no feelings for Elliot. Not yet, anyway. We're just friends right now.
Is there a law against going to an underground garden with your friend?
Well, in my brain, the underground gardens are the most romantic place in the world. So, you're right. I should totally take a friend. I had been kidding, but I pinned that flyer and coupon to my wall. One of the few things left. And every day for the following 3 days, I walked by it. On the 4th day, I called Elliot. As a fellow artist, he was sure to appreciate the experience.
This is beautiful, I said, as we walked down two levels of wooden stairs. Vines dripped from the ceiling like stalactites, and the air was thick with the sweet aroma of flowers.
"Isn't it?"
Elliot said. He'd been to the gardens before, but when I called, he had said he would love to see them again. Sunlight poured through sections of the ceiling that were open to the sky. The temperature was slightly cooler, but also more humid, like we were in our own tropical forest. And the plants that lived there, I guessed, were tropical plants. Big, colorful flowers and broadleaf shrubbery. Drip lines ran along the wall, bringing even more moisture to the area. I felt like I had been transported to an island somewhere. "I love this," I said. The garden was divided into dugout rooms, and we walked slowly through each one. We weren't the only ones there. Two little kids kept darting past us, their footsteps echoing off the walls as their feet slapped the ground. Their parents tried to keep up with them. A couple was there as well, holding hands and stopping at each display. They looked at each other more than they did the flowers. I remembered telling Cooper this would be a perfect date. I gave Elliot a sideways glance. It didn't feel like a date now. It felt more like a research mission with Elliot. It kind of was. We were both soaking in the inspiration.
"Are you ready for school to start?"
he asked. "Not really. This year would be different. I wouldn't have Cooper. Would I have Rachel? Justin? I hadn't talked to them in a while. I'd sent a few texts to Justin, but hadn't wanted to explain anything until they were back. Which they would be in exactly 3 days. I was both excited to see them and nervous to tell them about the destruction of our friend group. I'd understand if they chose Cooper. I was the one who'd set off the bomb. "You ready?" I asked, trying not to think about it too much.
"It's senior year, so no."
We continued down the wide corridor toward the next dugout room. "There are carvings on the walls," I said, tempted to run my hand along the patterns that manifested between plants and vines.
"I know. They probably took hundreds of hours to complete."
I heard running water somewhere, and I left Elliot behind, examining one of the more intricate patterns, to follow the sound to a water feature that took up the corner of one of the rooms. The couple I had seen holding hands was in the room as well. I skirted around them and to the corner. Water poured over stacked rocks and followed a path carved into the floor ending in a pond. Several large koi fish swam in the pond. Images of that day in Cooper's bathroom while we had a memorial service for Amelia's fish came into my brain unbidden. I pushed the side of my fist to my forehead and turned around. Cooper stood at the roughly carved entrance of the room. At first, I thought it was my brain putting his face on someone else's body, since I had just been thinking about him. But then he spoke.
"Abby, don't be mad."
I shook my head. I wasn't mad. Well, I was kind of mad at my body. That no matter how many weeks it had been separated from him, it still reacted to the sight of him. It was like feeling rain after spending days in the desert. He was, like my grandpa might say, a sight for sore eyes. His blonde hair fell across his forehead, just above his intensely blue eyes. I'd almost forgotten how tall and broad he was as well, his frame seeming to fill the entire doorway.
"I sent that flyer to your house."
"What? Why?"
"To get you here. You said this was your dream location, and I've been watching my phone every day since then. And now finally you've come."
I knew I should have taken that app off my phone.
"I'm glad you didn't."
"Well, here I am." He walked closer. I looked around to see that the couple who had been in there before was gone. I crossed my arms over my chest, hoping they would protect me from whatever was about to come out of his mouth. Another speech about how we made the best friends?
We did make amazing friends.
I miss you, he said.
His voice was rough, laced with emotion. Now that he was closer, I could see the dark circles under his eyes, like he hadn't gotten good sleep in a while. I miss you too, Cooper, but... He held up his hand and I stopped.
Please, don't say any buts until I finish. Please.
I nodded.
It's been weeks since I've seen you, and in that time, I figured out my fear.
Being alone? I asked. He laughed a little.
No, although that wasn't fun.
He still had the same amazing smile, the one that lit up his whole face. Why couldn't that have changed in the last few weeks? I found myself wishing he were missing a tooth or something. What was I going to say at the end of this if he asked to be friends again? I couldn't do this. My insides were already twisting back up again.
My fear is being with you.
What?
All this time, Abby, that's what I feared. On the beach that night a year ago, you told me you loved me, and I was scared. Terrified, actually. I knew how much I cared about you as a friend. But I knew that if I let myself fall in love with you, that it would be like handing you my heart to hold. I'd be so exposed. So I held on to it tight. Kept it to myself. And I thought I'd succeeded. I thought that I didn't feel the same way about you as you did about me. But that's just because I didn't realize, until now, what love really felt like. I thought love was that first meeting emotion. You know, the one that always fades over time. I kept trying to find my happiness there in that emotion. I'd date girls and think, yes, this is what love feels like. But I was never happy. It always felt empty. It wasn't until you left. Until you took what my happiness really was away. That I realized love was this.
He put his hand on his chest.
This deep, intense caring about someone's well-being. About wanting that person to be okay no matter what happens to yourself. The realization that you, Abby, are already holding my heart. And I'm perfectly okay with that. I love you.
I knew Cooper really well. We'd been best friends for nearly 4 years. So I looked for the signs that he might be lying, avoiding my gaze, fidgeting, biting his lip. But they weren't there. His gaze was steady, as was his stance. I think you're confusing love with missing me, I said. His head started shaking back and forth before I even finished my sentence.
I knew you'd think that. I knew you'd think I was saying all this because I miss you. Or because I just want you back in my life any way I can have you.
Yes. That's what I think. My arms were still crossed over my chest, and my heart was crashing into them, asking me why I was making him question his declaration.
I do miss you, Abby. Ugh, I miss you with everything in me.
He grabbed hold of the front of his shirt in his fist.
And I do want you back in my life. But I do love you. With my entire soul. And I'm sorry it's taken me so long to realize that.
I swallowed hard. My whole face felt tingly and numb. And then I heard Elliot's voice before I saw him.
Abby, did you see the huge tree growing up through the roof and the...
He trailed off when he turned the corner and saw Cooper.
Oh. Hey, Cooper.
Then Elliot's eyes met mine and seemed to ask if I was okay. I wasn't sure what I was, but it was definitely not okay. Cooper had just told me he loved me, and my heart was racing, and my mind was racing, and I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know if I should grab hold of him and never let go, or run the other way, because he might change his mind and destroy me for good. Cooper's smile fell as he looked between Elliot and me.
"I'm too late,"
he asked.
"I'm too late."
His face was painted with pain.
"What can I do? A duel?"
He met my eyes with a sad smirk, sharing our inside joke.
"No, Cooper," I said. "I have to walk away, don't I? Let you go this time."
I didn't speak, and I wasn't sure why. Maybe I wanted him to feel the torture of that thought for just a moment. Cooper took the three remaining steps between us and crushed me into a hug that eradicated the rest of my anger.
"I'll wait. As long as it takes,"
he whispered. Then he left.
"He finally figured it out?"
Elliot asked. I nodded. "I'm sorry. I need to go."
"I know."
I ran. I ran through the maze of the underground garden and up the stairs. The sun blinded me for a moment when I made it outside, breathless. When my vision cleared, I saw Cooper's car in the parking lot. I ran to it, but he wasn't inside. I turned a full circle, but he wasn't anywhere. Not up the street, walking it off. Not at the small gift shop where the admission tickets were sold. Nowhere. I turned and practically slid back down the stairs underground again. When I reached the bottom, Cooper came stumbling out of one of the side rooms. I skidded to a halt.
"This place is like a maze. It doesn't let a guy trying to save a little dignity just leave."
Tears were in his eyes, and my heart couldn't handle the sight of that. I pointed over my shoulder up the stairs. "I made it all the way to the parking lot, but you weren't there. Just your car."
"It needs to be washed."
I laughed a little. "Your car?"
"Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier today, how it needed to be washed."
"Are we really talking about your car?"
"I'm trying to hold it together here, Abby."
I nodded toward where I'd left Elliot. "I'm not. We're not."
"What?"
he asked, using his palm to wipe at his eyes. My eyes stung in sympathy. "I don't think I've ever seen you cry. Well, there was that one time you accidentally ate that really hot pepper." He choked out a laugh.
"Accidentally? You put it in my burger."
"I know. It was funny."
"For you,"
he said. "I love you, too. I've never stopped," I finally spit out.
"What?"
"I love you, Cooper. I never stopped." He wiped at his eyes again.
"You're not just saying that because you feel bad for me, right?"
I laughed. "You do look pretty pathetic." He nodded to the side.
"Come here. I want to show you something."
He walked ahead of me, back the way we'd come from, and reached back for my hand. I placed mine in his like I had so many times before, and like I'd thought so many times before. It felt perfect there.
"I found it while I was trying to flee,"
he said. He led me to a portion of the garden I hadn't seen yet. The room was darker than the others,
Small holes had been drilled into the ceiling, letting in pinpricks of light, like a blanket of stars. When my gaze